Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're going to be visiting with Bob Boots. Good morning to you, Bob.
Good morning. It's nice to visit with you.
Thank you. I've been wanting to visit with you for a while related to a display we have at the American Legion Memorial Building, the Armory as most people call it, because I think it's a bit unusual. I'm not sure we have another one quite like it, and that is because your uniform when you were in the Coast Guard and your father's uniform when he was in the Navy is there on display. I don't know if we have any other father-son recognition like that.
I don't know of any, but anyway, I have my father's World War One Navy uniform and my Coast Guard uniform side by side.
Yes, and that was during the Korean conflict.
Yes, I was in during the Korean conflict, 1952 to 1955, and my dad was in the World War One in 1918 and 1919.
We're going to talk a little more about some other history, military history in your family, because you have a lot of it. But let's talk just a little more about your experience in the Coast Guard. You know, a lot of people talk about the Marines and the Army and so on. Not so many people talk about the Coast Guard, so that's another unique part of the story. What? Tell us a bit about that experience.
Well, there are not so many Coast Guard people to tell the stories.
That's right.
Now, I was getting real close to the draft in 1952. And I had a choice of being drafted into the Army or Marines for a period of 2 years. I could have enlisted in the Air Force or the Navy for a period of 4 years. And I found out that the Coast Guard, we could enlist in it for 3 years. So I opted to try that. So on the first part of February, I went to Omaha and enlisted in the Coast Guard. And they notified me to be there on the 15th of February, 1952. And so I went out there, and then there were seven of us from that at that time. Went on the Gold Coast Pullman train to Alameda, California.
So had you ever been on a train before?
No, I hadn't. Oh, that was luxury there. I mean, Pullman, and it was kind of an exciting trip.
Yeah.
But anyway, after I got to Alameda, California, that's where I took my basic training, and I was there for about 4 months. And you could take tests if you'd qualify for certain jobs. I applied for damage control. Well, they took that as a hint that I could maybe learn something about that, so they sent me to Groton, Connecticut, clear across the United States to school there. And I went to school there for about 4 months. And after I got out of there, turned around, sent me right back to Alameda, California, right where I took my basic training. And I was only there for a period of a couple of weeks just to get a permanent job. And then they sent me to what's called Port Chicago Naval Ammunition Depot. And that's clear up in the northern extremities of the San Francisco Bay Area, up on around Suisun Bay. And, the job of the Coast Guard there was loading ammunitions on merchant marine ships. And I was there for, probably 14 months or so. And then I went on leave, and when I got off leave, I was transferred to go on the Coast Guard cutter, the Balsam. And that was kind of a combination icebreaker and buoy tender. It was, I think, 183-foot ship. And I was on it for lacked one day of being a year.
That's a lot of time on the water, Bob. Did you ever get seasick?
When I first got on that ship, I was attached to the engineering department, go down to the engine room, and I'd start seeing double. And I'd go back out on the, walk down these two hallways I was looking at, go out on the open air, and it'd clear right up. Well, and it happened about three times. Mm-hmm. And the third time, I had to go by the hospital corpsman's cubicle, and he gave me a pill, but it must have been a good one, because I was never sick on that, on it for a year, even though we were in some pretty good storms.
Yeah, talk about in those storms, that just, when I think about the pictures of that, it just looks like you're ready to tip over, and then it doesn't quite tip over. I mean, that's quite a roll from side to side.
Yeah, it is. They had kind of a gauge that showed the degree of roll that the ship had. It was kind of like a pendulum hanging down as the ship rolled, it'd tell the show the number of degrees. And I saw it, that degrees show 45 degrees different times.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. Yeah. So that's from the side to side. But then at the same time, you have these waves that you're going into, and that's called
the pitch.
That's called the pitch, okay. Yeah. So. That's your up and down movement.
Yeah.
But I know one of my jobs on that ship was every time I was in going into port or out of port or in kind of risky waters or something, my duty was to be on what they called anchor detail. And I would have the anchor ready to lower or raise. And, of course, that's right up on the bow of the ship. And they're kind of like a roller coaster. You knew when you was going to go up, and you knew when you was going to go down, and so you just kind of could see it.
Yeah, okay.
So it wasn't like inside a cabin and not knowing what the movement was going to be. But
many different experiences you had from the time you entered till the time you left. And I know you have more stories to tell, but we need to talk a bit about your father in World War One. What were some of his experiences? Because that was, of course, that was the war to end all wars. And he enlisted, I believe, in 1917. Is that correct?
He left a diary here, and I've been trying to take some notes off of this diary.
And, of course, he's in the Navy, but I think you and the Coast Guard spent a lot more time on the water than he did being in the Navy, although he did take a couple of trips where he was on ships and so on.
Yeah, he enlisted in Des Moines on Saturday, March 8th, 1918. And from then, he went back to Redfield, where he lived at the time. And on the following Monday, he went to Des Moines to get on a train to head for the Great Lakes in Chicago. And he was in Chicago for just a short period of time. And then he was transferred to Norfolk, Virginia, where he spent quite a long period of time.
Yeah. It seemed like as we went through the information you gathered from the diary that, yes, he spent a lot of his time around or in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned so many times about St. Julian's, and that was kind of a supply depot, and he did mention time of working on the docks, and he missed cooking, and I'm always guessing that he was working in the mess hall in St. Julian's for a lot of that period of time, because he has mentioned that several different times of working at St. Julian's.
Now, one of the things that he did was to go with when the troops were being moved to or back to France and back. But one of the things that happened during that time involved not his ship, but a really important troop ship was actually torpedoed. Again, not his ship, but...
No, it was about 6 months or so before he enlisted, there was a troop ship in... off of Northern Ireland, was carrying American soldiers. And there was over 2,000 troops on that ship, and I think there was over 200 of them that were killed on that trip. And that was ship was torpedoed by a German torpedo.
Mm-hmm. It would seem to me that I'd be a bit concerned about that, knowing that I probably was going to be on some of those ships, again, moving troops. So, but his time... in the service was not a long time. Yeah, having a diary is so interesting, Bob. And one of the things we found was what he was paid.
Here's one showed where he was paid on a Sunday on May 5th. It was payday. Got $2.
And we don't, of course, know how long that was for. Was that for 2 days or was that for a week? We don't know that. But there are other times with other paydays.
Another day it showed where he was paid $3. But I don't know for how long a period of time that was. And it looked like about every 2 weeks he was paid $2 or $3.
But there was one time it was quite a bit more, so it must have been a longer period of time.
Then some one pay day said $29, and another one $17. So it'd be different for a different number of days, or I don't know how they figured it.
Mm-hmm. But. Okay, I want to move on. Your father, of course, got out of World War One when November 1918 is when it was declared over, Armistice Day, And, of course, he had to stay in a bit longer than that because you got to do all the processing and all that sort of thing. But he did come home in 1918 after the end of the war. So I wanted to just do, we have just a couple minutes, actually, not much. I want you to mention
South Dakota.
The your brothers, nephews, great-grandfather, so on. And, you know, we're going to have to talk to you again, Bob, because we don't have nearly enough time to talk about all this history. But we want to say thank you to you, Bob. We want to invite people to the American Legion Memorial Building. Take a look at those uniforms and then start thinking about all of the lives that are involved. And, of course, one of the purposes of that is to honor veterans and their families. So, until next time, the motto for the American Legion Memorial Building is preserve the past, enrich the future. And again, thanks to Bob Boots.